All police officers are pretty bad, and Winnipeg police officers in particular find joy in abusing their power. Richard Comte is no different. Hi, hello, what is up, and welcome or welcome back to Girl You Haven't Heard, the podcast where we discuss true crime and Black Canadian history from a critical, decolonial perspective, but above all else, without all the unnecessary propaganda that others love to include, but we hate to listen to. This episode is a doozy, so let's get right into it. So Richard is a constable with the Winnipeg Police Service, and he began working for the force in 2002. He and Andrew Tighe, who had actually previously been caught drunk driving, were responsible for investigating a sexual assault that happened in October of 2015 at the Greenbrier Inn. The Greenbrier Inn is a bar on Main Street. Richard was trying to get video security footage from the inn, and he spoke to management on one of his many visits. He probably went there too many times, to be honest. And while trying to get the video footage, he never went through the proper channels and he did not obtain a production order of any kind. The manager said that initially he was very easy to talk to, but on the second time he visited, he said that he wanted to speak with Jonathan, who was the owner. Jonathan wasn't there, so he left. But by the third time he returned, and again, mind you, he still has no production order of any kind, he told the manager that he would return on the hotel's busiest night if he didn't get the footage. Now, this was a clear threat because if you ever want to see a bar clear out super fast in Winnipeg, just have cops show up. I remember like the brief stint that I used to go out when I still lived in Winnipeg and the cops showed up. It's a sign that the night is over. Something is about to happen and it's time for you to take and leave your business elsewhere or just go home. So he knew exactly what he was doing by threatening this. By his fourth visit on October 21st, 2015, he said that he would arrest the owner, Jonathan Singh, for his failure to provide evidence. He came by himself on this visit, so he made sure to speak to the manager in private. So this conversation was had on the second floor of the hotel lobby. It's pretty clear that he did this to try and apply additional pressure. The manager was genuinely scared, and she told him it wasn't like they were all trying to purposely hold things up, but Jonathan is out of the country, so she can't access the server. She also notes that he repeated the threat of arrest more than once, and he became increasingly more frustrated and also became louder as well. She once again told him that she did not have access to the server room where all of the videotapes were kept, and he told her that he was there on an official order, which was a lie. He had no production order, he had no order of any kind, saying that they had to give him over the video footage right now. She was scared that her boss would be arrested because of her, so she let him into the server room to watch the footage. She said, quote, "He's my boss. I didn't want my boss to be arrested. He said again and again he's in on official order, so I had no choice but to let him in." After seeing the footage, Richard told her that's all he wanted to see, and now he has proof that the footage was in Breyer's custody all along. Despite being out of the country, Jonathan got in contact over the phone with police after he told the manager he needed her boss's number and to call him from the hotel phone. He, Jonathan, was completely unaware that the police were even requesting anything from his bar prior to this call, but it was after he was already being threatened with arrest. During this call, once again, Richard threatened to arrest Jonathan upon his re-entry into the country if he didn't get what he wanted. During this call, Richard repeated the threat. The same one that he told the manager that he would come to the bar on the busiest night to collect the evidence. The manager said that Richard's voice during this conversation was aggressive. It sounded like he was trying to instigate a fight. Richard told Singh that he had been looking for him for a long time and said, quote, "I've got you now." Sir, what does that mean? What do you mean by that? What does that mean? He also told Jonathan that he would send police cars to Jonathan's business to sit outside at night rather than during the day as an attempt to pressure them to give up the video and as punishment for what Richard perceived to be a lack of cooperation. Prior to this whole incident, police would often come to his business about a couple times a week requesting video surveillance, and he would voluntarily hand it over without a warrant forcing him to do so. Now, he was not required to do this, and I don't really think you should do this if there's not a warrant, but it was interesting. I also understand his decision to do this because you don't want the biggest gang in the city to be publicly and privately against you. It's a fast track to going out of business. The threat that Richard made of arresting Jonathan was later repeated to Andrew, and Andrew, little sneaky Andrew, he actually recorded the conversation and snitched to their boss. I assume the only reason, though, that Richard felt comfortable venting like this was because he believed that Andrew would protect and cover for him the same way he had covered up and protected Andrew continually. But I cannot. I cannot. Not the man who was drunk driving, now trying to be ethical and do what's right. We are far past that point, buddy. Way past that point. But also, Jonathan and Andrew were friends off clock, like outside of work, so this also may have been why he felt it was important to be honest and upfront about what was going on, because so many impartialities could be seen. So, what happened in this phone call between Mr. Drunk Driver and Mr. Abuse of Power? So, Mr. Abuse of Power said that Singh was genuinely being difficult and just didn't want to hand over the footage, which why would he not want to hand over the footage of a sexual assault that went on at his bar? That doesn't make sense. Jonathan said that the hotel owner should realize the next time he's got a whole bunch of Manitoba warrior assholes in his bar, he's not going to get any fucking play from us. And if he wants a bunch of guys breathing down his fucking neck, then he needs to keep going that production route. To which Andrew responded, "That's fine. I mean, if you want to threaten him that way, go right ahead. I really don't care." Richard said that Jonathan requiring a production order was a threat, so his threat was just matching the energy. I don't understand how a man asking you for what's legally required for him to turn over his footage is a threat. It sounds like you just want to be able to abuse your power and have nobody question you, and you're mad that you perceived him to be questioning you when he wasn't questioning you. He literally was just out of the country. Now, Mr. Abuse of Power said that the next time they got a call from the Greenbrier, they wouldn't rush, and hey, they may not even show up. He said, and I quote, "You know damn well what happens to establishments who are not police friendly, because that's what I'm telling you, from officer to officer." To me, this just further confirms that he thought the whole conversation was just going to stay between the two of them. On October 21st, he was told by his sergeant to get a production order and stop wasting his time. So after Jonathan, the bar owner, and his lawyer filed a complaint with LERA, which is the Law Enforcement Review Act, Richard kept being an asshat. To the point that he actually suggested a joint investigation of the Briar with a liquor inspector, basically just trying to make Jonathan's life a living hell. Richard was also telling cadets and newer police officers about what was going on from his biased and so incorrect perspective, of course. These are cadets who he was responsible for training, by the way. He was complaining to them that this was the only time in his whole career he had ever had to get a production order to obtain video evidence. If this is true and he wasn't just talking, this is fucked. This is messed up. Because you just admitted that for years, like literally almost as long as I have been alive, that you have not been following the proper avenues required as a police officer. You've been doing things illegally just because you could. Which, I'm not a lawyer, but doesn't this just mean that technically all of the evidence that he obtained over the years was illegally obtained and then invalid and couldn't be used in a court of law? Or am I tripping? The judge ruling on the Lyra case says that the only reason Mr. Abuse of Power would have mentioned the bar and its owner by name was to poison the minds of his audience against the business. The judge, for whatever reason, thought it was so important to note that Richard had an otherwise spotless policing record and had glowing letters of reference. It would be stupid and naive, just straight up ridiculous, to insinuate or believe that this was the first time that Mr. Abuse of Power had ever done something like this. It's clearly not the first time, and it definitely will not be the last, since his punishment was extremely minimal considering what he did. The judge also said that his actions didn't involve a momentary lapse of judgment, but a consistent pattern of actions, which fell far, far short of legitimacy. So coddling him, right, by making sure to praise him first before saying what you actually think. The judge also said that his actions were oppressive, they resulted in abusive conduct, and amounts to an abuse of authority. The judge also called Mr. Abuse of Power out for threatening course of conduct by police that would interfere with Jonathan's ability to conduct business and safety, and potentially to conduct business at all. Richard said that he was trying to be quick and thorough with his investigation, which are two things we know the Winnipeg police don't do, two things which we know to be completely untrue of the Winnipeg police. And he also said that he was worried that the video footage they needed would be recorded over if he didn't hurry up and get the investigation over with. So what happened to him? In 2019, the verdict came back and It found that he did absolutely every single thing he was accused of. He was demoted to patrol sergeant and later docked about 5 days of pay for his quote, abusive conduct and language. If you want to know how much of a punishment this truly is, and I was curious about it too, so I went and looked up the salaries between his two different positions at the time. So in 2019, they don't publish the officers' names in the compensation disclosure forms that get published yearly, but they organize them by number, so I couldn't figure out which one was him. So sergeant, his original position in 2019, were making anywhere from about $81,000 to $223,000 a year. But his demotion, he was then getting paid anywhere from $106,000 a year to $148,000 a year. Since his specific salary wasn't mentioned, it's very likely that he is making more than he was previously despite being demoted. Oh, my foot is asleep. Oh my God. This is a side note. As I was scrolling through the compensation report, I got extremely frustrated and increasingly upset because all of the teachers, the bus drivers, the people who literally make the city function were at the bottom of the list, meaning they were making the least amount of money, and most of the police officers and politicians were at the top of the list, meaning they were making the most amount of money. So it determined that his final three offenses occurred between October 11th and October 31st in 2015. So the first two offenses were using oppressive conduct, language, being discourteous and uncivil towards Jonathan and his manager, and the third was an abuse of his authority by threatening to cause harm to Mr. Singh's business. The lawsuit brought against him by Singh was settled by the city of Winnipeg for an undisclosed amount. But yeah, so I'm assuming that he's basically just living his life as if none of this ever happened, and he got a demotion, but it's possible that the demotion was more or equivalent to what he was being paid before he got demoted. We have now come to the part of the podcast where I give my thoughts, my feelings, and my opinions. I feel like if you are a police officer and a charge has stuck against you, or you're being sued for something you did on or off duty that violates the law, why should you still be able to be a police officer? I feel like you shouldn't. It doesn't make sense that you're able to. Because now all he's going to do is continue to abuse his power. He's just going to be more sneaky about it. I think that this is one of the few cases that I have heard of with a Winnipeg police officer where they've actually been, I don't want to say punished because I don't really think he was punished. It's very possible he got a promotion, but a promotion not in official title, but a promotion in salary. This is one of the few cases where the result has found that the police officer was in the wrong. I think it's interesting that the only reason he got caught was, of course, because Jonathan filed the lawsuit and had evidence to back up everything that he and his manager were saying, but also because Mr. Drunk Driver, Andrew Tygate, he decided to record the horrible conversation that Mr. Abusive Power had with him and submit it as evidence. It's interesting to see police officers turn on each other, and I feel like Andrew only felt the need to do this because he could have been responsible for Richard's actions if he didn't say anything. It also goes to show how racist Winnipeg police are and how he went out of his way to mention Manitoba Warriors when he's talking about a sexual assault. It's like he didn't even care about actually solving the sexual assault or figuring out what happened. He just cared about his ego being bruised and his feelings being hurt because this man wasn't doing exactly what he said and was requiring him to follow the law. And he got mad. Imagine being a police officer getting mad that people are requiring you to follow the law that you are supposed to be enforcing. Mr. Abusive Power Richard Comte is just one of the many reasons why I'm team abolition all day, every day. Get rid of the police. We don't need them. They cause way more harm than they cause good. So thank you so much for listening to this short little episode of Girl You Haven't Heard. Make sure to rate the podcast and give it 5 stars. If you're giving it anything less than 5 stars, I will literally cry. So don't do that. And also, if you want early access to all of my content that includes all of my podcast episodes as well as all of my YouTube videos, then make sure to go on and become a Patreon. You can find that link in the description. So thank you so much for listening to Girl You Haven't Heard, and I will see you next Sunday.